Press turns 10 years old this year on May 27th, and let's celebrate it, the 10-year birthday of WordPress, with a revolution. And here's how I think we can do that. One is we have to say that Drama Press, I didn't say WordPress, Drama Press is over. We're now in the big leagues, boys and girls, with serious players. We need some true transparency, separation between some for-profit entities and open-source community. We need to ditch the bias, the backhanded politics, and actually embrace people making money with WordPress the right way. Number two, software itself, the WordPress software itself, needs some renewed momentum and energy and impactful change for people to get excited again about WordPress. Remember version 3.0, how big that was for WordPress? We need that again in 2013 for the 10-year birthday. And yes, sometimes less is more, by the way. Number three, internet freedom is the key issue we all as WordPress users need to be ready for and be ready to protect it. WordPress is about freedom, right? So allowing millions of people to publish online easily. Last year with Pippa and Sopa, you just saw a preview of what's to come when big businesses try to legislate their dying business models online. So as WordPress users, embracing freedom, championing freedom with WordPress, we need to be about internet freedom and our internet rights this year so that our voice, our vote is heard. So viva WordPress, and here's to the next 10 years. I'm Corey Miller, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's tough.
You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast. Bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes!
Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities, Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Holy cow. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got the Dradcast. It's finally here. And your favorite folks, Brad Williams and Dre Armada, the personalities to get it happening day in, day out. So one week from today, we'll continue doing this. Folks, welcome aboard. Nice to see you. Corey, thanks for the intro, brother.
Let's do it, man. That was awesome. I'm pumped.
You bet.
Man, this is it's been a long time coming. So we've been off the air, Brad, here for a couple months. And we've been itching to get back at it, and here we are. The Dradcast is finally here. So welcome to the show, folks. This may be a little bit different than what we were doing in the past. The segments are going to be a little clearer. Yeah, right. So we have the same technical difficulties we had from the past. That's going to continue. Who are we fooling? But the Dradcast, so it's going to be a show here about WordPress, about a bunch of other modern tech topics. We're going to continue to talk it up and see kind of, you know, what sparks your fire, what sparks conversation. We want to hear from you folks as well. It's going to be a weekly show. So, Brad, we're looking at doing it same kind of time, same locations as before. Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, right?
8 p.m. Eastern, late night, baby.
Yeah.
Which everyone always gave us crap for because 8 is not really late, but we're old, so...
Yeah, I need my sleepy time. I need my sleepy time. So we're going to be having this show up on iTunes shortly after the episodes air live. As you can see, we've put a full website out for each of the episodes for the broadcast itself. You'll be able to chat and watch it live right there on the site at dradcast.com. Make sure to visit the site if you want to submit to be a host. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear kind of what you got in mind, as well as any content that you may have. Get over to the site. We've got forms that you can fill out to get all this content up to us, and then we'll schedule as appropriate from there. But yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm pretty excited. Corey, thanks again for the intro here.
I think quickly we should give Lisa Sabemosa a big shout out because she was a huge, huge, huge help getting the website put together. I suck at design. I'm not a designer. I can't even spell CSS. And Dre is good at faking it. So thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, that is so dead true.
Hi there. I'm Drew Armada.
Oh, yeah. And we have sound effects, baby. So get ready.
We're We're back loud and proud. Thanks again, Lisa, man. Brilliant work. We couldn't have done it without you, love. I appreciate it. Well, that's a quick and dirty of who we are, what we're going to be doing here, folks. And here we go, Brad.
Here we go. Oh, it's me. And I'm the one that's saying we should not say, oh, it's me, the entire show. So, yeah, we want to start out with to thank our sponsor in the show. Our sponsor is Event Espresso. So Event Espresso is the only, the best, the absolute, hands-down leader in event registration for WordPress. So if you need to do events, whether it's small events, large events, it's amazing what this plugin can do out of the box, let alone the tons of add-ons they have for it. So check out Event Espresso, eventespresso.com, and they are actually offering us a discount code for our listeners. You can use DRADCAST20 to get 20% off of Event Espresso. So check out eventespresso.com, and we definitely want to thank them for being our sponsor of the first show.
Love it. Yeah, great to have you, folks. We couldn't do it without you. We really appreciate all the support there. Well, let's kick off in old school fashion, because I know I'm thirsty. I know you guys are thirsty, and I know our crowd is thirsty. Damn it, what y'all sipping on?
What do you got, Corey? Tell us. Start off strong, baby.
Dr. Pepper 10. Well, I've got two. Dr. Pepper 10 and maybe a dirty martini.
Yeah.
We're talking.
I like them dirty, too. That's what's up. What you sipping on?
That sound effect's a little bit disturbing. It didn't. Yeah, never mind. Anyways, I have a little grape vodka and club soda. I like to call a grub soda, as yummy as that sounds. So
nice.
I don't know if that sounds that tasty, but I'm just saying.
It's a terrible name, but it tastes great. Trust me.
Yeah, that's more like the soda, right?
I don't know. Hating is bad.
Hating is bad. I ain't trying to hate. That's why I'm gonna put some wax on it, baby, with some Maker's Mark 46. Yeah, we got to celebrate with a little bourbon there. Very good. Well,
is that the watered-down version, or is that, like, legit, actual?
Yeah, it's still legit. I haven't started going into the watered-down versions of the bottles yet. We're still
stock
good.
Up.
We stocked up early, so we're good.
I just can't hang with you guys, man. I gotta go back to my Dr. Pepper 10, probably.
Well, we know, Corey. We've been doing enough word camps with you now that we always know. What time is it? 9 o'clock? Oh, Corey already left. Okay.
I know how to shirk when you guys start drinking. I know how to hide really, really well.
You're that guy.
There's a lot of those guys, actually, when Trey and I get together. So,
yeah, you're must
be wonder if maybe we're the problem.
No, we're definitely the problem. I think
we're back in our hotel room playing chess while you guys are getting trashed.
That's what's up. You and Chris he's that guy too. Like he'll buy like two rounds and like, hey Chris, let me repay you, and he's gone. Where did he go?
I like to phrase it as power networking. So it sounds a little bit better than getting trashed. we're power networking, man.
Well, Corey, you've got that. So Corey, you've been around the industry here with us for a while. As we talked earlier, you're not really the nerdy type. You're more on the business end of things, doing some really awesome and innovative stuff with Builder, iThemes, and a lot of the other cool products and things that you've got going on out there. What kind of personal news you got going on here? I heard there's a little addition to the family here lately.
Yeah, my wife and I, Lindsay, had our first baby on January 29th. His name is Callaway.
Yeah, congrats.
Callaway Jess Miller. And you're probably going to hear him crying here in a minute. He's in the other room with Lindsay.
That's great. We'd love to have him on board as well. Congratulations, sir.
Awesome. Very, very exciting news.
Thank you.
So a little history. Where, you know, for the folks that don't know you, which is probably not too many of them out there, you're Corey Miller, the founder of iThemes. You've got a lot of other cool stuff going on. Give us a little history in terms of you, your involvement with WordPress, and how you've ended up to where you're at today sitting with this awesome broadcast.
Yeah, and like you said, I'm not a geek. I pretend to be a geek, but I can barely turn on the TV and Apple TV and all that kind of stuff. So I am classically trained as a newspaper journalist. That's what my first passion was, writing. And so print, worked at a couple newspapers, went into PR, that kind of thing. And then around 98, the internet, you know, this being able to put stuff online and share it with the world came around. And so I started my personal site back in 98, I think it was. And I was doing a humor column, if you can believe this, at the daily newspaper I was at the time, once a week. And so I wanted to, you know, push that out to the public. And so I was using a software called Claris Homepage. You guys ever heard of that? It was terrible.
No, but, it sounds awesome.
It was
sounds really revolutionary.
Yeah. Rad, you were probably shooting, you know, guns at that time, right? You were in the Marines at the time, probably?
Yeah, I'm sure someone was kicking sand in my face right around that time.
So, classically trained, you know, newspaper journalist, I got, you know, ink on my fingers. I love print, but that's a dying thing back then. It was, you know, that this internet, you know, popularity was just starting to really burst. And so I started a blog a couple years later, and realized I started on Blogger, you know, like a lot of us awesome, you know, WordPress lovers did. We started on a crappy software platform like Blogger. And but I just wanted something that could keep my website up, and then discovered this cool thing called WordPress. And so I started a blog unrelated to what I'm doing now about my particular career field at the time. And I wanted to learn, you know, web design. And so I started hacking around on my own site and eventually released a free theme, and it just took off from there. So a lot of people like to say they just showed up and they were awesome. I wasn't. I never pretend to be awesome. I totally fell headfirst into this thing, and it's been an amazing ride yet. So in January 2008, went full-time with iThemes, started in my home, and then now we've got 20-plus people, most of whom are headquartered here in Oklahoma City. Thousands of customers around the globe, yada, yada, yada. It's been a fun, wild ride all because of WordPress.
That's
love
awesome.
WordPress.
I would love to do like a tally of how many, and I think I've said this before in the past, how many businesses, WordPress-centric businesses started in 2008, because I feel like that was the year where a good majority of the very successful ones started. I mean, that's when my company WebDev Studio started. I know I could probably name off 10 companies that started in 2008 that are going strong today, and if you work with WordPress, you've heard of them. So it's something about that year just really sparked it for people, and they wanted to kind of, they realized WordPress was it. You know, that was the future of what they were working with, and that was all they wanted to focus on. And I guess it's a good thing we did, right?
Well, absolutely.
You know, and Corey, you've been and your projects have been heavily coveted because of you know how awesome and useful they are. There's such a value behind them. Not just the iThemes products, which are brilliant, and there's so many variations in the types of themes that you're offering and stuff there. But one of the premier, if not the premier, backup capable or backup solution in the WordPress world today comes from your guys' camp, Backup Buddy, which in its own right is just amazing. How did that kind of run into, you know, where did you guys kind of stem into heading that route, and how has that progressed? Because, I mean, from an outsider looking in, it's been amazing to see the run and the progress.
And can I just say thank you, because Backup Buddy is awesome. I love it.
I think I've been reading this book about demand today. I was just sharing with our designer, Brad, that we need to always – the best products come out of the things that eliminate hassle for people. And so I'm going to take you back just a second, then I'm going to get up to Backup Buddy. So in 2008 when we started, we built the entire company around products I would personally want to use. I admitted I'm not a geek. I don't know how to code, all that kind of stuff. So I have consistently gone back to our dev team and said, you've got to build products that I want to use that make my life better because I'm our typical user. And so 2008 we started with themes just to get some good themes out there. You mentioned, you know, Brad, 2008 was a big year. Jason Schuler, Press 75 started. Woo Theme started. Studio Press, Brian Gardner started. I'm probably leaving out a bunch of people. But all in the realm of trying to fill a void that was a hassle is very solid, you know, themes that were cross-browser compliant and all that kind of stuff. They didn't really exist. Theme stuff was a mess back then. We started out with themes and just to try to prove the concept that we could make money. And then the next year, same thing, better themes to try to continue to innovate. Now, year three is when we came out and we said, okay, we hired a guy named Dustin Bolton, awesome developer. Mm-hmm. And we said, what are we going to do with Dustin? So we came back from WordCamp Boston after a great conversation with our good mutual good friend Michael Torbert. And I realized, hey, what we did with themes, we can also do with plugins. There were some popular plugin authors out there that were basically saying, I'm taking a job somewhere, and I'm not sure what the future of my plugins were. So the same thing, consistent maintenance and support, people are willing to pay for that. With themes, same with plugins. So we thought, okay, what can we do? Well, a couple months prior to Dustin starting, we had a catastrophic server crash at iThemes. It didn't affect iThemes.com, but it affected my personal domain name and a bunch of other client sites we were hosting at the time. It was a mess. We were trying to scrape Google. This is how bad it was. We didn't have a proper backup solution, so we were scraping cache cached stuff from Google and copy and pasting to try to restore sites. So Chris Jean, our lead developer, our CTO, said, listen, there's not a holistic backup restore migration solution in WordPress. There was backup solutions, but there weren't the complete picture. And so that's how Backup Buddy came about. And by the way, Backup Buddy is 3 years old in March. Next month, 3 years old.
Now you just make us feel old.
Exactly.
So, talk about taking lemons and making lemonade. I mean, it's pretty neat seeing how you took something that was such, I'm sure, a very bad moment in the history of it all, and really spun it to this awesome story of how Backup Buddy came to be, which is really, I mean, it's got to easily be one of the top five, if not top, you know, two or three, if not the top premium WordPress plugin there is out there.
Thank you for that. You know, what we try to do is just say, okay, what are the hassles, what are the problems people have, and how can we make their life easier? We have this fuzzy little mission statement at iThemes that says, our mission is to make people's lives awesome. That means making it easier, better, more affordable, whatever it is, helping people to do what they really want to do. We center our business around saying we want other people to be able to make money like we have with WordPress, and primarily that's freelance web designers. And so that's just kind of been the – I would like to make it to be rocket science, but that's about as easy – that's about as dumbed down as it really is at iThemes, is try to provide solutions – that people need to prevent hassle, to help make their lives better, and support them with phenomenal updates and you know, quality support and things like that. Just like security does, just like Web Dev Studio does in different variations. It's just the repeatable formula we keep doing at iThemes.
And you guys have kind of extended beyond that into some other areas with training videos and things to that effect to help facilitate not just the backup stuff, not just the themes and getting the site up there, but more of the educational take on it, which is something that's imperative for new folks kind of getting involved with WordPress, involved on the web, and for them to be able to sustain businesses or websites. So tell me a bit about what you're doing with webdesign.com.
Yeah, thanks for that, Dre. That's one of the big ones I left out. Webdesign.com was 3 years old as a business in December. So Builder came out 3 years ago in December, webdesign.com, and then now Backup Buddy next month, 3 years old. So all our mainstay products are 3 years old about. So again, you know, after that first year in business, we realized, and you know, Jason, Lisa, anybody that's done theme stuff understands that the first question people, when you're selling themes, premium, commercial themes, whatever you want to call it, they ask, how do I customize it? So it was imperative. We saw this huge gap in the market, still there, I think. There's some really solid people trying to fill it, but is for quality training around web design. You know, I've talked at length with Brad and Brian from WebDev and asked them where did they learn their skills, and they'll say, you know, back in the Marine Corps and all that kind of stuff. But they did it because they had drive and initiative and learned and Googled around and figured out how to program and how to do stuff on the web. Well, we wanted to provide that resource to our customer base to say, here's some solid training. In fact, Dre, let's see, next week or the week after, you're coming on talking about security, WordPress security, a very hot topic in WordPress, to our community there. Mm-hmm. So we just try to provide the hot topics that people need to know about and give them a venue. So it's like a live classroom that's typically like 45 minutes to an hour in the form of a webinar, screen sharing, all that kind of stuff, where Benjamin Bradley, among other guests like yourself, both of you guys have trained at webdesign.com. And so just trying to...
And not to do a shameless plug here, but it would be February 20th. So look out for that. We'll shoot out a link.
But I will.
But I will anyways.
Not to do a shameless, but... I got to say, I mean, I love, you know, I definitely am not one to take sides or anything, but I certainly love what you guys have been doing over the years. Excuse me while I...
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because they happen to partner up with these guys that do a lot of security stuff.
Crap.
You know,
I just,
these guys are really good.
I just
want
to, you know, put my new hat on here.
I got to go find my web dev shirt.
But no, seriously, I mean, it's pretty easy to see what you know, we've all, like we said, we've all kind of started around the same time, and it's really fun to watch. You know, we've been friends for years now, so to watch each other grow, watch the businesses grow. But obviously, so you mentioned a lot of your core products are 3 years old, so you got to tell us, Corey, man, what's next? Because I know you. You're not one that's going to sit on stuff and say, all right, I'm good. I've done all I need to do. We'll just ride this out till I retire. I know you got some stuff in the back that you're working on, so... now's the time. You can go ahead and tell us. What do you got?
Hey, I appreciate that, man. Brad, you know me too well, because I get antsy. But, you know, I've been telling people for a long time that when I first started iThemes, I thought I had to internally in my heart go, I'm going to commit 5 years of my life to this. 5 years. And because I had never held a job, by the way, over a year and a half, 2 years before I started iThemes. And so this last month, I was 5 years with iThemes. And so my time was up. So I had to go, okay, I got to recommit, right?
Bye, guys. Have fun.
Yeah, Matt Danner and Chris and all those guys say, hey, go. And I encourage them to fire me when the time is right. And I'll go to New Mexico and, I don't know, chop wood or something. But I get antsy. The next 5 years is big. I can't say right now because we're too early in the project. A couple of big projects.
Hey, listen, no one's listening to us anyway, so it's cool if you tell us.
Yeah, like people, this is episode number one.
It's just us. Okay, so here it is. There's two projects, and I hope to share them soon. I wish I could break it with you guys, but it's just way too soon, and I would get fired. My guys would leave and say, you're stupid. You said it way too early. We got two big projects brewing this year that I'm really excited about, and it's the next 5 years of our company. With WordPress, of course, as the core. Backup Buddy is the franchise. We're not going to leave Backup Buddy. We're committed to keep making that thing better and better every single day. Dustin does an amazing job, our support team there. But there's two big projects brewing, and really too early, but hopefully about summertime,
you're going to hear something. The time's right. We definitely have you back on, and this would be the platform to announce that kind of stuff on. So,
well, like you said earlier,
keep us in mind.
Hey, let's celebrate it with a revolution. What better way than coming on the Dradcast? Now, let me ask you this. So in terms of the products you've put out, you're talking about now in the WordPress space specifically, products that have been around 3 years. That's pretty big in terms of WordPress and our community and the business ecosystem and products that are being offered there. Did you start out with kind of the WordPress model of, you know, GPL and licensing and things in mind? Was that where you guys originated from? Did you adapt to that like some of the other companies out there that may have started away from GPL and so on? Where did you guys kind of stem from in terms of licensing?
With Themes, which is what we started out with, those products, they were split license at the time. I still feel passionately that they could have been split licensing, but it was WordCamp Chicago. Lisa's in the chat. I held her gum at that first WordCamp Chicago. Brad was there, although we were talking at the pre-show whether we met or not. That was a foundational WordCamp for us. After that WordCamp, we went 100% GPL, meaning, you know, the style sheet and all that kind of stuff, CSS. So we've been 100% GPL since WordCamp Chicago. So that would have been like May or June 2009, I think. So we weren't not GPL. We were just split license with the theme stuff. And you guys that, you know, are well-versed in GPL stuff, so you know going back, that was one of the dry moments of my life, reading the actual GPL license and trying to understand it. We've been 100%. All of our plugins, all of our themes are 100% GPL. Of course, our content over at webdesign.com is not, but beyond that, we're 100% GPL shop.
Well, that brings into kind of recent discussions, and that brings us to our first pressing topic of the week. For those that don't know, being the first episode, all of our topics as we kick in into future episodes will be the pressing topics of the week. Drama Press. So what's going on? Talk to me a little bit about Drama Press.
Let's do it.
We have this inside joke with a couple of people that say, like, every time something flares up in WordPress, I want to hashtag Drama Press and just turn on the soap operas and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of what I said in the intro, guys, is, you know, WordPress is 10 years old. I think it's time to ditch some of the petty crap and grow up and legitimately say WordPress is serious business, and stop this little whining, two-bit, backstabbing bullcrap that's running in the background. And you know, I mean, the GPL stuff has come up what in the last couple of weeks, like you mentioned, Dre.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel, Corey.
I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And some may say, "Oh, Brad loves drama," and maybe I do. Who knows? But I am doing a podcast. But you know, I also agree that certain things that happen in the community weren't drama because they weren't handled the way they should have been handled. And at that point, what do you do but voice your opinion? And that's obviously going to be perceived as drama. So it's. I feel like I am absolutely on your side. I don't want the drama. I'd rather focus on building cool WordPress stuff. Microsoft had a really cool WordPress shirt that they gave away a few years ago at WordCamps. And it said, "Make WordPress not war." And I've always thought that was kind of a cool saying, which relates
probably any time drama press comes up, right? Make WordPress not war. But it kind of goes back to, you know, how it's just how things are handled. I feel like sometimes there's rush decisions made without due diligence that could have eliminated the entire drama that happened in the first place, you know? So it's like,
well, it's almost counterproductive at times, right? Let's highly publicize some of these discussions, and maybe the way that it's handled in the public isn't in the best interest of the discussion or handling or finding a solution for that discussion. At the end, it builds more barriers than it does bridges when we should be doing the complete opposite. And that's how we're going to continue to nurture and grow this community. Whether wrong or right, it's irrelevant. It's the way that's being handled sometimes that can cause a lot of dismay in the community. And that really, in turn, starts to segment or silo the way that we approach things. We saw that happen with Microsoft's and those, you know, the world as they grew into big, large corporate environments. We need to be very careful this early on.
The first 3 years, you know, I've been doing this five full-time in WordPress. First 3 years, I was full-on drama press. I was in it, man. And I lived and breathed it, and my stomach hurts probably now because of it. And but what it became was this distraction. So when what I fell prone to and why I call it drama press personally is when anyone tells me how to run my business, we have a problem. That's what I call drama press. You know, I think there is a right way to do business, and there's a right way to do WordPress business. But there's some that are religious about those philosophies. And, you know, we talked about, I've got a little, you know, two-week-year-old baby in the next room here. Mm-hmm. And when stuff that people decide religiously affects that, my livelihood, all of us, the three of us here earning full-time livings on WordPress, then we got a problem. But I was consumed with that for the first three years. I'll admit it. For the last two, it's been such a nice vacation from it to say, you know what, no one matters but this, these people, our team, our customers, our partners, our families. That's all that matters. Now I put within family the friends that I've grown to have: Jason Schuler, Lisa Saban Wilson, Grant Griffiths, Carl Hancock, Dre, Brad, and all the people associated with you guys. That's family to me. But when it affects decisions made behind back doors with the religious philosophies and all that kind of stuff, I love it. You guys just drank when I started saying that. Then that's when I call drama press, and that's when I call bullshit. When it affects my livelihood, knowing that I sleep well at night doing the right things for our business, for our customers, that's when it's drama press. I don't have any more time for it.
So let's kind of put some context around the most recent drama press, which I think everybody knows we're kind of alluding to here, which is the Envato issue that came up very recently. And essentially what happened is a gentleman by the name of Jake Caputo was emailed by the WordPress Foundation, WordCamp Central, and basically said since he sells his themes on Envato, which Envato does not allow theme authors to sell under the GPL license, so you're kind of forced into a non-GPL license, since he sold themes through Envato, that he was not allowed to speak at WordCamps. And that kind of triggered this huge, pretty large backlash, one of the bigger vocal discussions I've seen in a while in the WordPress community. I saw a lot of people speak up about this that don't normally speak up about this type of stuff, just because they felt like it was kind of in the wrong to do something like that. So, and Corey, this is absolutely right down your alley, and I would like to get your thoughts on that, because we're talking a little pre-show, and I wasn't sure if iTheme start out GPL or not. So maybe you can talk about, you know, iThemes is GPL, so maybe you can talk about, you know, the kind of the process of when that happened, when you made the decision, why you made the decision, and that can kind of lead back into this larger discussion of, you know, the whole Envato mess.
You know, it's all like words and crap like that, Brad, but, you know, we were GPL from the start. We just weren't 100% GPL. So, you know, and I'm mincing words, but anyway, it's just important in the discussion to say. In Envato, I had the opportunity, like you guys did, to meet Collis and Cyan and Phoenix for Pressonomics. Amazing people. Just good people. Just nice people. And they, although they're competitors to our business with Code Canyon and ThemeForce and all that kind of stuff, highly respect them. They do business in a different way, but I believe that as far as I've seen, they do business in the right way. Now, according to different people's definitions is one thing. According to one or two people's definitions is one thing. But, you know, so seeing all that stuff come out and the fact that it's like come around and it's like a way to legislate the GPL is religious in nature, and it's just zealous. And I think it totally disrespects the fact that we're trying to all of us earn a living doing the right thing. So, you know, that's the most recent, you know, topic that you're mentioning, Brad. But, you know, it's like every 3 months, it's something to do with the GPL.
I think you highlighted it. I think you highlighted it. It's like the no matter who you ask, they have a different definition of what it means, or there's no clear kind of – there's general guidelines, but they're very kind of loose. And then it's like how people want to interpret those guidelines.
Well, so that gets back to where this community really is, where it lies, where the figureheads, where the responsible parties are. And when you lead down that road, when you talk foundation, when you talk about licensing and who kind of governs that, it's kind of Matt Mullenweg. And when I say that, I don't mean that as a bad thing. I'm saying that ultimately he's got saying that whether wrong or right, we're still part of this community. And forgive me if I'm playing devil's advocate here, but there is another side there where, and if this is what he's kind of pushed for, and these are the ideals that he's going to stick behind and defend, shouldn't we as a community, whether we like it or not, maybe adhere to that? Now, I get your point about guidelines, but there have been active guidelines out there since 2011. And in fact, as we get to the closing of the show here, I'll talk about that in Bar Tricks, about some of the things that have been done to try to improve those guidelines, try to bring in community members to help build and QA and audit those guidelines, and then obviously stand behind them. So maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, but at the end of the day, I personally am seeing things to maybe move towards a more community-driven governance program around these things versus a blanket, here's the letter of the law. And at the end of the day, if this is kind of where we're at and we're living in the confines of that community, isn't it up to us to maybe withhold that?
Yeah, I would say, let me preface what I'm going to say here, that I highly respect Matt.
Disclaimer.
No, by all means. I mean, I don't think that was ever...
Right.
Highly respect Matt. Well, before what I'm going to say, Dre, is I highly respect him. I mean, I'm envious of what he's done and been able to do. It's amazing. And we're here sitting here talking about all of this because what he's done is efforts. Yeah. So highly, always give him credit. He's a way smarter guy than I am. But here's the deal. You can't serve two masters. You know, whether I have, if there's two projects I have at work, one is going to take precedence. One is going to get bias. One is going to get more energy. And so the one thing I've always maintained is anybody, and I don't want to single any one person out, but let's say Matt or, you know, the foundation, whatever you want to call it, the one thing I've always asked for is consistency. So if you're going to say one thing, you got to do one thing, and if you're going to be fair, you got to be fair across the board. That means that certain plugins on the repo can't get main billboard access for the last 2 or 3 years, Jetpack. So, you know, those kind of things. And so what I'm saying is you can't serve two masters. You got to either have one or the other. You can't have two hats either, because you start talking out this side and this side doesn't match. And so that's the hard part and the thing I've lived for the last 5 years, and I've tried to keep my peace about it, and then you guys go on here and tell me to drink and, you know, shoot my mouth off.
Keep going. You're doing great.
Have at it. This is going to be a doozy.
I absolutely agree with you, man. It's all about the consistency, and I think that's one of the issues that's one of the reasons I think this topic really blew up. And like I said, I saw people being extremely vocal about it, but that usually don't get involved in this type of drama. I mean, if you look at the original post called Automatically Blackballed, and we'll put it in the show notes, he has 265 comments on this post. So, I mean, this struck a nerve in a lot of people because there's no consistency. It's like, oh, well, we'll go ahead and say the rules were there, but weren't enforcing them. Okay, well, that's not being
consistent. I don't think it's just the inconsistency, but there's a lot of ambiguity where one starts, one stops, where two starts, and so on.
And if you do that under the banner of community, that's not good, because there's bias, there's a lack of transparency there, and that's the one thing I've said over and over. It has nothing to do with the recent issue. It's the thing I've been living for the last 5 years, is be consistent. Does he and other people have the right to say, this is the way it is, thus saith the Lord? Absolutely. But when you do it under the banner of community, you have to be consistent. Back in Pressonomics, back in November, it was interesting, because what I've lived for the last, you know, I told you I was consumed for the first 3 years of our business at iThemes. finally people, because more and more commercial theme and plugin authors have gotten out there, finally people are seeing the lack of consistency and the bias out there. It's coming to light, and people are going ding, 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 ding. It took me a while. I was naive, too. But you stay around long enough in the community, and you start seeing this stuff. And I'm telling you, WordPress is 10 years old. If we're going to make it the next 1 year, 2 year, 5 years down the road, we're going to have to get rid of this crap.
You can say it.
And I think being open and the 265-plus comments on a blog post like that are the things that are going to continue to drive us in the right direction. At the end of the day, how do we solve this? How do we move towards those things that are going to continue to allow us to grow those next 1, 5, 10 years, right? So we've explained or at least talked about some potential shortfalls or issues that we may see or may feel. How do we fix those things? Because at the end of the day, it's great to talk about those things, but what are the solutions? Not posting that directly to us in this channel right now, but overall as a community, what do we need to do to drive positive change to help us sustain as a community? Food for thought.
That's the next show. That's the next show.
That is definitely the next show, and it's all about finding worthy outlets to be able to discuss things and talk about. So,
I knew starting off with GPL as the first press topic was going to be a problem.
It's all downhill from here. So, how do we survive? How does anything survive? How do those outlets survive? No, what is going on with WordPress news sites these days? That's what I really want to talk about. So, we've had a the shit just hit the fan. We've had stuff like WP Tavern. I ran something small, WP Vibe, back in the day, WP Candy. We have a WP Daily, WP, oh my gosh, every 50 different sites out there, but they never seem to stick around more than a couple of years at best, and even then, they're in flux. It's talking about consistency. It's up and down and not a really reputable kind of place I can go to that's going to be there every time I go to find news.
Here's how I see it. And I've been around since before Tavern started. I remember working with Jeff Rowe. He's asked me a lot of questions when he was starting up the Tavern. I gave him some ideas. He didn't take many of those ideas and use them, but I did give him to him. WP Candy. I've known Ryan. He when he started that up, I didn't know Ryan that well, but I got we had the podcast going for a while and we've become good friends over the years. It's a total burnout effect, and the problem is that these people start sites and the sites are running great and everything's going awesome and they're pumping out content left and right and it's just really awesome shit to read and you're loving it, and then they get burnout or they go on vacation for a week or two and they don't have anybody else doing content, or they are the kind of the master that has to hit the publish button on everything that goes out. They are the one person that controls all that content. WP Tavern, I honestly, it was all Jeff. It was all him. There was a couple guest posts, but 99% of what was on that site was Jeff. He burned himself out on that and could not make money off of it was the other thing.
Could it be that, ultimately we're in a community that's very young. News is going to be far-reaching at times because we don't have that much content that's going to drive traffic, that's going to drive revenue, depending on what revenue stream you set up and build on. Is it that we're just too young to have a real good, sustainable news source? Ultimately, you need to have some funding because you need to be able to support the folks that are going to be creating this content, researching this content, getting and curating all that fun stuff. Beyond doing it yourself, which we've proven doesn't work, we're going to need some type of team to do that. So looking more of that traditional editorial type setup for this to work. Do we have enough news in the WordPress community to sustain? Because I think that the bottom line, that's where the problem starts.
I think 100%. I think the commercial side even is just, barely 5 years old. But the answer to what, you guys have already said it, but it's lack of a consistent, sustainable business model. Mm-hmm. And so I go back to, we were talking about this, and I thought, WordPress plugins. How many plugins have you seen? It was PodPress back a couple years ago, around the time that we started doing plugins. It just kind of vanished. It didn't have any updates. And so these projects start out just like, the daily news sites start out with pure passion. When you talk to Jeffro, he was 100% passion. He just loved WordPress. The problem is at some point the passion starts to wane and life comes into play. The fact that we have to somehow keep that light bulb on and the internet bill so we can do this kind of stuff. So the lack of a consistent, sustainable business model is the same true with daily news sites to plugins to different things around the WordPress ecosystem. I mean, WordPress.org, same thing is. So those guys, Mark and some of the core guys, have to somehow earn a living, right? So, lack of the cha-ching, yeah, exactly. I mean, so the hard thing is we're going to see people that if they don't have a connected business model that try to reinvent the business model are going to have a hard time within this thing. I mean, you know, I think about Weblog Tools Collection. That was the one that actually got me started. I mean, submitting my themes to Weblog Tools Collection, Mark Ghosh over there, I love him, got to meet him in person. But, you know, he's been doing this a long time, and he does have some semblance of a business model over there, but it just takes time. You guys know this.
I think of all the news sites, WP Candy came the closest because they you know, Ryan and the other people he's working with, they got creative. You know, when they first launched, it wasn't about the ads. Everybody knows ads are really hard to make a living off of. So they said, screw it, we're not about the ads. So they came out with some clever ideas. He did the pressed ads for a while where he had his own ad network. Not running, you know, it was basically you could run your ads through the press network on your own site. He did the, you know, the WP Quarterly. He has the WordPress Pros. He came up with these very creative ways to try to make money outside of just ads on articles, which doesn't bring in enough money.
Yeah, but ideas are just ideas until you execute. And at the end of the day, he overextended himself with not enough resource, and that, my friend, is not sustainable. That's
I definitely think, and obviously, you know, we've seen a definite scale back on WP Candy and the articles coming out, but I think he had the best shot at making it very sustainable. Some of the ideas he came out with I thought were awesome, and they still are. You know, it's definitely shows some creative ways that these news sites can make money outside of just Google ads, which aren't going to pay the mortgage, you know.
We as WordPress people, we love open source, and we're used to free, as in free downloads of software and all that kind of stuff. But we have this weird relationship with money within the community. Almost as adversity to money within the community. Passion without profit is called a hobby. Hobbies are not sustainable for large, scalable type businesses. I mean, it just won't happen. So, you know, at some point, the money has to come into play, and people in the chat room have mentioned about WordPress theme companies. You know, we've got two very highly acclaimed authors, one here in the Dradcast, another in the chat room, that have made a pretty good side living on, you know, content and stuff like that, but it's got to have
a sustainable business. Let me clear the air right here. Writing books is not paying the mortgage either, I can promise you. I think the first book I wrote, it worked out to about a buck and a quarter an hour or something.
Yeah, that is...
clear that misconception right now.
I'll tell you what, if we're not tweeting that out by Corey Miller, we missed out here. Chris Lemon put it up there. Passion without profit is called a hobby.
That is a great quote. Ooh, for sure.
You know, at the end of the day, when you look at WordPress in general, our audience, I mean, holy cow, what, 17% of the internet's powered by WordPress? But how much percentage of the folks involved in WordPress really give a crap about WordPress news beyond, hey, look at the latest doodad or functionality that was released on WordPress, you know, name your flavor. That's a very small market to cater to, and from a revenue perspective, if you're not thinking outside of the box, the content plus ads or any type of ad scheme there is just not going to cut the mustard.
Don't you guys, here's the bigger topic I want to sidebar you on for a second. Don't you think WordPress as a community as a whole has a hard, weird relationship with profit, with money?
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily the WordPress. Well, I think it might be a larger open source kind of issue. Open source.
That's an open source problem, yeah.
But WordPress, certainly. You know, it's definitely like a lot of, there's certain areas in WordPress that if you make money on, it's cool, and there's other areas it's like, whoa, I don't want to be a part of what you're doing because you're making money in that area. You know, it's like these, it's weird. Themes took a while to be commonplace, and now it's like, oh, yeah, you buy a theme. That's what you do. Forget free themes. They suck. You buy them. But plugins are still kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy a plugin, you know?
That's why I've loved over the past 5 years that people have a problem with companies doing good work the right way in WordPress, making a profit, to encourage them to promptly move out of their parents' basement.
Is that where you're at right now? I mean, you could tell us, Corey, if you're still living at home.
Man, I don't want to be in this basement. No,
that's one of the big projects he was excited about, moving out. I'm just
sorry, Mom.
Oh boy, that's good stuff. I'll tell you, man, it's becoming a really dynamic environment. Things are growing. In terms of news places, we've got a few new ones out there. I hope that they could creative and continue to grow.
Give some props, man. WPDaily.co is pumping out some awesome content. WPRealm.com. You know, we'll list a couple of those in the show notes. But I mean, both of those sites are pumping out some really good articles right now.
Now, see, John at WP Daily has a sustainable business model because he's got a premium or commercial theme business, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that he's been able to advertise, and it's a very good theme. So, I mean, you know, he's actually got some semblance of a business model undergirding the entire, you know, thing of what he's doing.
Yeah, but it's completely separate, right? It's not he's not putting all his eggs in that basket, right? Because we understand, or at least through our recent history in WordPress and the new sites that are there, they don't sustain in terms of ad revenue and all those fun things. So you need to have some type of external influence there, whether it's funding from somebody, some type of alternate business or whatever, to make sure that you're paying the bills, be able to come out and put out that content or build a team to be able to put out that content.
And I think, go back to your original question, I think it was you, Dre, that asked, is there enough news out there for WordPress news sites? Absolutely. Hands down, there is enough content out there to be wrote about. And there needs to be a site like they're promoting and talking about what's happening in the WordPress world, whether it's promoting new themes or plugins or talking about WordPress core and new features coming or interviewing, you know, industry leaders, whatever it is. I mean, that helps WordPress grow. I mean, that's a very important aspect of WordPress, I think, is getting the knowledge out there, getting the word out there about things that are coming and what people are doing and showing what WordPress can do.
Well, here's a what if from Dre's Corner. What if there was a way for us to crowdsource this type of entity that's going to be putting out news, that's non-biased, that's really putting out the latest, greatest interviews and reviews and what have you, news for WordPress, that's crowdsourced by us, the community, and we have some type of say on who actually runs and creates this content?
I think it's like you guys would probably say in your business, somebody needs to be the champion of that entity. Somebody needs to champion, meaning like live, eat, and breathe that thing for it to have legs, you know, past initial, you know, rocket launch type thing. But, hey, I'm all for it. We supported WP Candy. I've reached out to John at Daily and said we'll do the same with them too. So I think there's advertisers out there willing to pay.
Yeah, and there is a, to your point, Dre, there is a site that's fairly recent, launched by Brian Krogsgaard, called poststat.us, poststatus. And it is, as he states, it's kind of reader curated content that you can submit to it, and it's fairly new. I think it's less than a month old, but we'll see if that idea works, because I think it's a cool idea too, because I'm always looking at articles, reading articles, kind of flagging things, sharing them with my team that I think they should read.
Well, it's all a Hacker News, which is pretty interesting, which has been a very successful site for news and different articles and stuff, if you haven't seen that already. Great concept. That's great, but there's still as that grows, there's still going to be that sustainability factor, right? He's going to need to pay the bills. So how is that going to work? Maybe easier down that route in terms of getting content on, but there's still hard costs associated with that. At the end of the day, I think you're right, Corey. It can't be a complete flat organization running something like this. It needs to have some type of figurehead, someone spearheading these efforts.
I have enough projects going on, so it's not going to be me.
Yeah, not this guy. Well, speaking of flat, there's a whole lot of flat discussion going on lately in track for WordPress when it comes to UI and a new proposal for the WordPress dashboard and the sidebar icons that may be going into the next major release, 3.6. Have you guys seen any talk on this? It's some pretty interesting changes to the existing icon set that's included with WordPress now, and going to that, you know, big kind of trendy flat style icons.
If I could just highlight that, yes, Dre, the chat room has mentioned, and I want to point out too that you are the segue master. So from this point going forward on the Dradcast, if you're not segueing, it's going to be a car crash. So please keep it going because you're awesome.
Oh, thanks. Well, we post some articles here. Or some links.
I'm a little bit you know, up on the subject of the flat icon thing, but I think it's a bigger issue. I think it's that WordPress, I love the dashboard as it is now, but it needs a major update as a whole. It needs to be reflective of where the web is. there needs to be some excitement and momentum around WordPress this year. And I think that goes to the dashboard itself. Is look at some of the new hot web apps out there, and WordPress just looks a little dated on the dashboard side. Now, is it functional? Yes, absolutely. But I think it's bigger than just a little icon issue. I think it is a total rebrand. You've seen some of these people, I can't remember his name, John something, talking about a new dashboard that slims down stuff, and he puts some screenshots up on the web and things like that. Was it called Ghost or something like that?
Yep.
But the idea was, let's take the design of the dashboard to the next level and update it, give it a fresh look. We've seen that with our products. We're trying to do that this year, is give them a fresh look on the dashboard side. WordPress is no different. And there needs to be that influence, that impactful momentum happen to WordPress to get people excited again. We've kind of shrunk the release schedules on WordPress and stuff like that. I was looking on Wikipedia and looking at the release schedules, and like, man, the last one I got so excited about was 3.0. And what was that, 2 years ago almost?
It's been a while now.
We need something freaking excited, and I think the biggest thing now is less is more, but I think it happens in the dashboard redesign. And I'm going to throw that out for you guys and get your opinion on that. I think it's bigger than the icons, though.
That's what gets people most excited when there's anything major that changes in the UI, because you can have a lot of behind-the-scenes tweaking and optimization and code rewrites that, as a developer, it gets me hot and bothered. I love it, but as people like Corey, he's probably like, it looks the exact same as the last version. What's new? You know, it's like, not necessarily you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you bet.
It's
me.
Like, it's even little changes to UI can get people excited. I mean, what's everybody talk about in 3.5? The gallery uploader, you know, the media manager when you upload. I mean, that's a huge visual change, you know, to how WordPress works. And it's obviously a million times better than what we had. So that's what everybody talks about. It's not the you know, the changes that went in under the hood or some of the other features. It's the visual stuff.
I like the visual. I like pretties. I'm so down for it. Same page, Corey. We do need an overall excitement from a community and a project perspective. But when we talk UI, oh gosh, I mean, simplification, in my opinion, would be one of the first criteria that we need to meet. There's so much gobbledygook, and I think that we've made a good kind of move towards reducing some of the noise in there, but there's just a lot of noise. And when you talk about the community at large, not just, you know, the developers, the geeks that may be listening, and users, I mean, what's the first thing they're going to see? What's the first thing that's going to overwhelm them? It's going to be logging into that dashboard and having a plethora of options that lead into stuff that's just going to confuse them.
And we're really talking about 99% of the market of WordPress users, not the 1% developers. The 99%, like my mom, who logs into her high school reunion site to update, you know, the news about that. You know, Dre, you're the one. I mean, I just got to thinking about the security. I mean, you're an online software platform, essentially. I know you protect, you know, all that kind of stuff, but you've got a dashboard, right, that people log into. Now, if your dashboard looks old and stale, that reflects on your service, right? No matter how good your service is. I mean, your own experience, Dre, as an online software as a service type kind of provider, I think is highly interesting to me for this subject, because if you've got an old, outdated software system like logging on to Windows or something like Windows 95, people are going to associate that with your software, and I think that's where we are with WordPress today.
Well, there's a direct correlation to the functionality and its abilities, right? Whether wrong or right, that is just the reality. Now, in the reality with security, we're no longer a 95 shop, we're a 98 shop. So I'm just
thinking about not in the world. 98 SE, even.
But, and you know, a lot of folks that are into the functionality, whether it's workflow and the ability to do XYZ or coding back end, don't realize the significance of a proper UI, of a great workflow and experience from a usability perspective. And when you look at WordPress, there's a lot of pieces there that are antiquated. To get back to, and a lot of noise, I mean, Jason Schuler hit that on the head. I agree 100% that we've got a lot of noise going on in that dashboard. We need to start really reducing that. To step back to the original question, we're talking about flat icons, and there's this big push and, oh my gosh, all this discussion around these flat icons. Personally, I think they look like crap, but the reality is that they may be more usable down the road, right? Is it the right thing for us to put in 3.6? Is it something that's going to make the overall experience better? I
think Justin Sternberg, the Sternberginator in our chat room, I think he nailed it. He said that a big problem is community designing, right? So fragmentation, not enough vision. So if you put 100 designers and say, what's your opinion? What should we do? They're going to have 100 different answers because designers, that's what makes designers awesome because they all have their own traits in how they design. No two designers are the same, right? So when you're critiquing, should we use this icon or that icon or this color or that color? Should the menu be here or there? Like everybody, nobody's going to agree on anything. Like it kind of goes back to what Corey was saying on the news. Like you kind of need someone to spearhead that and say, look, I'm going to come at it with and take a first stab at almost like a beta on this new design or this new set. And then let's talk about it. Not just everybody brain dump ideas. I mean, that ticket and track has, it's over 100 comments now. And tickets like that scare the crap out of me because I can't, unless you're actively involved in the discussion of that ticket, you're probably staying away from it because it's too big.
Well, you know? Even then, just looking at it, it looks like it's pretty much dead in the water in terms of any change beyond what was proposed there.
Plus, everybody hates change. Like, you know, what change was it? Like version 2.8 or 2.9 when they lightened the header a little bit? I was like, oh, it's terrible. What did you do? And now I'm like, I love
look
it.
Look at some of the discussion between J-Trip and Matt Mullenweg on that trail. If you look at some of it, there were some valid points made there. And by some of the rebuttals made, it's pretty much the way that I take it, although it's indirectly, it's like this is what it is. It's set in stone, and we're running with it.
Yeah, Chris Cocker in the chat made a point too, and I saw a couple mentions of this in the ticket as well. That the icons, there's a little bit of discussion. Icon set was just kind of pushed in the trunk, and then everyone's like, "Whoa, where'd this come from?" And then the conversation really got going. So now they're like, "Look, take it out of trunk, get it back in patch form, and let's talk about it."
Chris is dead on, and that goes back to my point. Is there really a good reason for the change along with the rest of the stuff that's going on there that needs changes? How much is it really going to help the experience? Right now, I think none. I mean, it's really irrelevant compared to the other issues that maybe are at hand that need to be discussed and prioritized.
Don't you touch my icons. Don't you touch it. Actually, didn't those icons come from a competition where everybody designed icons and submitted, and then the winner was chosen by the community? Maybe go back to that. Maybe do a community poll and everybody throw up icons and let's vote on it like a community.
Yeah, let's crowdsource. Hey,
I love what Jason just put into the chat room. Jason Schuler, big problem. A bunch of developers discussing the design of WordPress admin. That's it. Boom. Right there.
I do not admit to be a designer. I already told you I can't even spell CSS, so don't take anything I said as anything more than me just talking.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, I can see some of the context provided and some of the reasoning for, some of the reasoning against. I mean, my overall argument is that there's bigger fish to fry than the damn sidebar icons. That, to me, is not going to improve Core as a whole with all the other gaps that I think are there. That's just my take.
I wish we could use this to spearhead the bigger discussion, and I think it's more interesting to me, but I think impactful for those 99% of people. I remember logging into Joomla back 6 or 7 years ago, and it felt like what I would imagine a helicopter dashboard would look like with 5,000 freaking instrument panels and blinking lights and everything. Oh. Exactly, and you know what I did? I shut it down, and I went over to WordPress, and I hated the day. I hate to admit this, but I hated the day when we went from that nice blue, simple dashboard into the one at the next iteration, but I grew to love it. But can you imagine when a new user comes into WordPress and hears, cue the helicopter whirl.
I don't have a sound effect for that, but Dre's doing just fine.
Mine's horrible.
And it's why... Part of the reason, not the whole reason, but part of the reason why Tumblr and some of these other things have taken off so fast is because they just simplify it for the user. What do you want to do? This narrow thing to do down there. So I hope this can kind of light a fire into the broader discussion and put that fully on the plate, because this year in 2013, it'd be nice to have an interior facelift on WordPress.
Listen, and I like the idea of admin themes. I mean, devpress.com, they released a new theme for the admin, which a lot of people don't know. You can actually theme the admin of WordPress. You can create themes for the admin. And I would love to see,
I would love to see
50 admin designs. Let me choose the one that's right based on the type of site I'm running. If I'm a blogger, give me a theme that makes it very straightforward for a blogger. You know, if I'm running a CMS, or if I'm running an e-commerce site, if I'm running, you know, whatever, you know, make a, give me an admin dashboard that's very specific to what I'm doing, you know.
The barrier there is too big. I think that we need to simplify the API or the hooks to be.
It is a lot harder. It's not as easy as just a normal.
And that's where I was going to go in with that. Okay, let's simplify that. You don't want to change the UI overall. Allow me to do that in a more simplistic fashion. So let's look, and this is light. This is light, not a big overhead for core. Let me hook into that and simplify that on my own in an easier, more intuitive way. That's my take. In any event,
come here, pony.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kick you one more time.
So the pony is back, and with that said, that's a big part of what we were going to discuss today. So I want to talk a little bit now about our sponsor, Ben Espresso. As we move into the tail end of the show here, I want to talk about some things that they may be having going on right now that you might find interesting. They've been analyzing some of their data, and they estimate that they now power over 250,000 events and help to sell over 100 million tickets a year. Event Espresso, a WordPress plugin. Now, that's
insane.
That's pretty insane.
I love stats. Yeah, those are awesome stats.
That's really cool to see a plugin that came off of WordPress is powering over 100 million tickets each year in 250,000 events. Releasing soon, they're going to have an iPad app, and I'm talking within the next couple weeks. As well as a RESTful API that'll be available for you to build onto the plugin. So they're moving and shaking, doing some really cool stuff. Some big stats, an iPad app, a RESTful API. I'm digging where they're going. So Seth and company are doing a really good job, and I'm really excited to see the growth that's going on here. They're looking for third-party developers to help their customers with customizations, website designs, and different news our new website. So if you're interested in doing any of that stuff with Event Espresso, here's a quick link that you can go and get involved. Back to the discounts and giveaways for Event Espresso. So remember that for a limited time, you're getting 20% off of Event Espresso by using the discount code DRADCAST20 over at eventespresso.com. You can use that now, so grab them while you can. They're hot. That's a pretty big discount just for listening in to us knuckleheads jab it up with Corey Miller. I've got nothing else, folks, in terms of show and pressing topics. If you don't got nothing, we'll move into our weekly bar tricks.
Let's do it.
Do it. So, Brad, why don't you fire away, brother?
Sure. So my bar trick this week is I am going to juggle three chainsaws that are on fire. Never mind. I'm not going to do that. I cracked myself up. Anyways, I'm going to talk about a site called wordsesh.org. So if you haven't heard, wordsesh.org, we'll have it in the show notes. S-E-S-H is going to be a 24-hour live streaming WordPress presentations, and it's organized by Scott Baskard, who's doing the majority of the work, and I'm trying to help Scott where I can. But basically what we're trying to do is set up, we're going to have a speaker every hour on the hour for 24 hours. So we're looking to get speakers around the world to fill those slots. And it's going to be available online. So you'll just log onto the website and you'll be able to watch. Basically, it'll be like sitting at home at a WordCamp. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in attending, just go to wordsesh.org and enter your email. We'll make sure to let you know when information is released. And if you're interested in presenting, also head over there. We have a form that you can fill out, and you can set kind of the topic idea that you'd like to do, and you have to give us three times that would work for you. Obviously, we have to juggle schedules and get everybody figured in, but it's something different that I don't think has been done before, but I think it'd be a lot of fun. I personally met a lot of WordPressers from other countries, and we went to the Community Summit, which was a lot of fun, you know, hearing how they use WordPress and work on it in different countries. So I'm anxious we're going to have a lot of those people involved as well, so to really fill the 24-hour clock. So check it out, wordsesh.org.
Love it. Love it. I'll continue on. And Corey, you can close this out, brother, as we go into the show close. So we talked a little bit earlier about guidelines and how they're changing, how they're getting the community involved. Brad just brought up the community summit where WordPress as a whole brought in some of the community leaders and innovators to really chat about and folks involved, core, you know, contributors and things like that to really talk about where we go next, right, in terms of events, in terms of core, and how we're going to maybe structure that a bit better moving forward to help sustain WordPress in those 1, 5, and 10 years down the road. One of the things that came from that was WordCamp guidelines, right? And it's time to speak up now. We've got a whole committee that was put together there that was based out of the community summit. And they put out a survey here asking different stuff from different organizers, our WordCamp organizers, looking for some insight into kind of how they're seeing things come about. And hopefully that'll spark some positive change and move forward. Challenge there is that, you know, now that you've got a voice, now they've put a committee together, they're coming out and they're putting surveys to start gathering data and stuff, and they've only got 26% of the requests that were put out, which are in the hundreds, hundreds of surveys. They've got 26% of folks to come, you know, and submit the survey. So it's time for you to kind of step up if that's a role you want to play in here and you want to get involved. If you're an organizer, go ahead and put a little bit of effort into that survey. Here's the questions that we're kind of throwing out there. So I'll give you a little bit of data to read through, but make sure that if you're one of those people that was involved with that, that you're getting some replies back. That's going to help the overall picture.
Corey, what do you got, man?
So I'm up. Okay. So I'm a book nerd. That's kind of the only geek I am. I love to read. And so I always have some book recommendations. I have two today. I'm going to put those in the chat if they'll work. The first is called To Sell Is Human by an author named Daniel Pink. Now, he has a previous book that is foundational for what we try to do at iThemes called Drive. Outstanding book. This is his latest book called To Sell Is Human. It basically says everyone is in sales. And so pushing that down to your team and all that kind of stuff is amazing because it's foundational. Everybody's a salesperson, and there's a new way to sell. So foundational book. Second is it's completely changed my outlook. I feel like I've had certain parts of this within my life, but becoming a new parent for the first time, all that kind of stuff has really put my mind about how to impart a positive mindset. Mindset, The New Psychology of Success is a phenomenal book. I would say life-changing because there's two mindsets. There's the fixed and there's the growth mindset. The one you want to be in is called the growth mindset, but too often we think our intellect and our intelligence is limited. We're only given this set of intelligence. And so from team members to anybody you lead, parents, all that kind of stuff, this is a great book. I'm telling you, it's so life-changing because instead of looking at something as a failure, looking at it as a learning experience, if Chris Lemo was in here, he'd echo all of this. I'll tell you, if you buy one book, it would be Mindset. But those two books are awesome. One, you can specifically apply to any kind of business context, and the second is you can drive through your life, your team, your business, all that kind of stuff.
I love it, man. I need to start reading.
Seriously, me too. I should read a business book at some point, I think.
Yeah, I should probably learn how to read first, and then we'll go from there.
The best way to do it is to buy an Amazon Kindle, or you can put the Kindle app on your iPhone, iPad, Android app, whatever that is, and take your bookshelf with you. I've got 250 books, I think, right now that I carry with me on my iPhone, so it's there whenever you need it in a waiting room. Maybe a bathroom, but so you can read and get into the habit of reading. I'm telling you, that's the way you learn and grow.
That shit'll get you drunk. Hey, folks, I'll tell you what. We are now all the way through Dradcast, episode 1, with Corey Miller. What I'd like to see here in the chat room is some cool show titles so that we can go ahead and post that. We'll even give you a little bit of love and some credit if you come up with the one that's chosen. Dradcast is going to air every Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And God bless it. We love you. Thanks for coming, and keep pressing the words, baby. Hey, Mr. Host, Corey Miller, do you have anything in closing, brother?
Hey, thanks for letting me be the first host/guest. It's been a fun time. You guys just wound me up and had me talk, and you recorded it all. So thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Yeah, nice job, Corey. You're awesome, and we knew you would be, so that's definitely why we wanted you on. So,
absolutely.
Open invite. We definitely want you to come back. If anybody else is interested in hosting, they should check out dradcast.com, submit your name. We're going to have a new host every week, so we want to get as many people on the show as we can. So if you've ever thought about podcasting, maybe you've never done it, this is the perfect time to do it because you're only going to look better. You know you're going to look better than me and Dre, so you can't.
No. That's it. It can't get any worse. For Dre, Brad, and Corey Miller from iThemes, this is Dradcast signing off.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast.
Drad.